Our in-state player here on 720 WGN. So it feels like something of a miracle or a dream that we are gearing up for the pandemic-delayed 78th annual Golden Globe Awards on Sunday on NBC. And understandably, there are many questions about the first major award show of 2021. Now, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler will return to the Golden Globes, hosting for the fourth time, which strikes a return to normal feeling, but even their appearances will be on separate stages in Los Angeles and New York. Now, there's only one guy on the planet to go to when it comes to covering these legendary award shows. Pete Hammond is the chief film critic for Deadline, one of the preeminent award season commentators for film and television. Served 4 years on the Board of Governors for the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, and now currently serves on the Television Academy Board of Governors, representing the writers branch. And now live from Hollywood is Pete Hammond. Pete, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Thank you for writing your introduction.
Well, I would have gone on much longer.
Okay, but... All right, fair enough. You must be chomping at the bit that we finally have an award show to celebrate this coming Sunday.
I'm so excited. It's Hollywood's party of the year, as NBC likes to call the Golden Globes. But I'm not sure what this party's going to look like, you know?
it's going to be a very
different Golden Globes.
Well, I was going to say, the Emmys that Jimmy Kimmel hosted last fall was done quite well, and I always see the Globes, as you said, as the fun award show. And not that the Oscars are a little stodgier. It's a little more formal. I just feel like people have been cocktailing all day long leading up to that, right, from morning to night. But you're right. This year is just going to be – this is going to be different.
Yeah, totally different. Look, the Golden Globes, for whatever they hand out their awards, that's not the attraction, certainly for viewers. It's to see all these stars, television and movies, together in one room in a ballroom, the Beverly Hilton. They've never changed the venue. They've never gone bigger. They make it the hardest ticket to get. And they're all shoulder to shoulder there. Obviously, that can't happen this year, but I've been, for the last several years, I've gone to the Golden Globes and sat in there, and there's nothing like it. It's just a lot of fun. I always have a good time. It's so unique to the Hollywood awards season in and of itself. But now, you know, with all the nominees at home, wherever they are, and the presenters, I guess, are going to be either in New York at the Rainbow Room or in L.A. at the Hilton. They're trying to do some live components, but it's going to be a total different feel because this, like I said, this has had a party feel, and that's the main attraction. So will people be as interested in what they're dishing out awards-wise? I'm not so sure.
Well, and here's the thing, too. I remember last year's award show, and it was really, I mean, not long before all the shutdowns happened, and everybody's jammed in this room. Ricky Gervais was the host. To me, last year's monologue and the in-betweens with Ricky was probably one of my favorites, I have to say.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, and Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were actually set as hosts before any of the lockdowns happened with the pandemic. Before that happened, they made this decision to book them a year in advance. And so they were sort of stuck with this.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And they've always done their act together in terms of this together. And now they're apart. I had heard maybe Tina Fey didn't want to fly to L.A. So, you know, they're doing it by coastal for the first time, which may be a tough balancing act for the two of them, you know, because it's very important, as we saw with Jimmy Kimmel. I thought he was a terrific host for the Emmys. He really brought it all together, and that's a complicated show when you're going to all these different remotes and nominees who have their own cameras. And, you know, it's not easy to pull off.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, when I saw the promos with Tina and Amy, I could tell, even though they were standing next to each other, that it was definitely green screen. They brought the two of them together, knowing very well they weren't even close to one another. But, you know, they're a team, and their timing is playing off each other and that eye contact. So, yeah, I'm hoping. but I need a break from all this, too. Like, you know, the Super Bowl was so serious on so many levels, and the commercials weren't as fun and whatever. Please let me escape, and I hope we can do that on this night.
Well, I hope so, too. And like you said, it is the first big televised film award show this year, at least. We had the Emmys that were strictly TV, but, you know, this is film and TV, and it's the first of several, and they're all going ahead with this kind of hybrid of live meets the virtual aspects of it. The daytime Emmys, when they tried it, they gave everybody the opportunity to record a speech in advance, not knowing if they won or not. And then they just rolled it in, and I thought that was disastrous.
Yeah.
Here, at least, you know, the Emmys, what they did was great, and here they're going live. They're not revealing beforehand, so there will be that kind of component to it that we're used to with award shows.
I like that. But the movies released this year were so much few and far between. The TV seasons were truncated, some premieres delayed, a lot of premieres delayed. Do you feel the list of nominees this year, both in movies and television, is robust as it should be? Probably not.
Well, you know what's interesting is today the Academy released their list of eligible movies, and it's 366,
wow,
which is more than they had last year, and actually more, you know, the biggest number in many years. Not a record, but the biggest number. And so that's interesting to me that there were more movies. There's just fewer that anybody's heard of.
That's right. That's right. I think that's a good point. I think that's a good point because we weren't all in movie theaters. You just kind of had to find, you know, you had to stumble upon some of these films. And I've heard more buzz about who didn't get nominated, by the way, than who did get nominated.
Yeah, you know, there's always that. You know, the most popular stories we run on awards nomination days at Deadline are always the snubbed stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are always interested in that and try to read a lot into it. But these are democratic processes. Everybody has an individual vote, and they vote. They don't sit around, you know, a table and let's give it to this person or that person. So, you know, so you're going to get that. There's no question about it. But the movies, you know, are going to benefit this year from people who have streaming services.
True.
And can
That's
watch
true.
Them
That's
on
true.
Hulu or Netflix or Amazon or Apple or all these services are on VOD, video on demand, if you want to go into that. But it's much harder to do that. We're not going out to theaters in much of the country, certainly not in L.A. and New York, and the studios aren't providing those movies. They pulled a lot of their big titles out of this year because they want to wait. They don't want to, like, throw them away, particularly the big blockbuster kinds of
James
things.
James Bond, and yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all of that, and West Side Story, Spielberg's West Side Story, and on like that. So we have essentially a lot of really good movies, but they're not mass audience things.
Let's start with TV. It's my personal passion. Best TV series, comedy or musical, always my favorite. It's Ted Lasso. It's Schitt's Creek, The Great, The Flight Attendant, Emily in Paris. And you talk about all the streaming. I mean, it's Apple TV Plus, HBO Max, Netflix, Hulu. Schitt's Creek was the only one that ended up on a very obscure pop TV. What's your favorite?
Well, you know, I look at that list and I see that Schitt's Creek's the only one that's had more than one season.
That's true. That's right. That's right. Everything is season one. You're right.
Yeah. You know, so the Golden Globes traditionally love to anoint something new. That is what they're known for. So this list doesn't surprise me. I think we're not going to see a repeat of the Emmys, I don't think. I think they're going to go with Ted Lasso.
Yeah. I'm with you on that as well. Best TV series drama, The Crown, which has gotten so much buzz this year. Ozark Season 3, The Mandalorian, Lovecraft Country, Ratched is the other one. And, you know, I love Ozark, and I kind of lost my way with Season 3 a little bit, but what are you thinking on this? Is it The Crown? Are they going to take it all?
You know, here's where I'm going to go against what I just said, and, you know, going for the new. Here, I think they won't go for the new necessarily. Ratched, they do like Ryan Murphy, but that's not a terribly critically acclaimed show, and they're aware of that kind of thing. Lovecraft Country, I don't see them going for that, even though that's new and acclaimed. Mandalorian is not the type of thing that wins here usually at the Globes, and Ozark's been passed over before. So I would go with The Crown, though. Look, this is a group of foreign journalists, and that just seems to be the one that I think will pull it out.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. Best TV movie limited series, Queen's Gambit, The Undoing, Unorthodox, Normal People, Small Axe. And again, I'm looking at all where these shows are coming from, like, the networks are shut out of all this already. I mean, nothing there. I mean, nothing there. Where do you think we're going here?
Well, you know, it's interesting, but Queen's Gambit seems to have all the elements and the buzz and that sort of thing coming out of Netflix there. But the other one that does, and could win too is The Undoing. First of all, they love big stars. They love Nicole Kidman, Hugh Grant, that sort of thing. So I wouldn't be shocked to see The Undoing, and particularly it's HBO's only nomination in that category, and they've done traditionally very well. But I would bet The Queen's Gambit is probably the favorite.
We're talking to Pete Hammond from Deadline about this Sunday's Golden Globes, and there's more when we come back on 720 WGN. Day Player on 720 WGN. We're talking this Sunday's Golden Globes with Pete Hammond, chief film critic for Deadline. Let's move to the big screen a little bit here, Pete, where most people did not see a movie on the big screen. They saw it on their iPads. They saw it on their iPhones. That's they saw it on their laptops during this pandemic, right? I mean, what do you think about that? Like, what is the future of movies in a theater? Like, I still love going to the drive-in. I did do this last summer because it was a safe place to go, but you know, now with the comfort of doing this in my own home, I'm not sure I want that communal experience anymore.
Oh my God, I just want the theaters to come back. I mean, if you're a critic and they send you these links to review these movies, they come on the screen with your name emblazoned across the middle of it and you know, other things that are written on it, and it's also, you know, I know all the support people in town for every kind of device you can do because I'm constantly calling them. I can't get it. I'm supposed to review this movie. I can't figure out how to go. Everyone has a different thing. In fact, I just got one for Tom and Jerry that I'm supposed to watch tonight. And, you know, and it says you must have this, 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 and this. It, you need a degree with some of this. And I'm just sick of it.
Gotcha. Yeah. And maybe I'm just being lazy. And I think, you know, honestly, I think some of this is what's going to come out of this a little bit is just, you know, we've all gotten way too comfortable. And maybe it'll take a little longer to get out there. But, you know, it is so easy, I'll tell you, to just throw that open and or even stream it on your Apple TV and get it done.
And do it. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it on my laptop or my phone or anything like that. And so I do stream it onto my TV, which is why I have all these problems. But it's, you know, because everybody's got their own way of doing it, the studios. So, you know, I would prefer to see things on the big screen. I got away once during this entire year to Orange County just before they shut down theaters there again, and I saw Tenet in IMAX.
Oh, that's good.
And,
oh, wow, good for you.
You know, it made my top 10 list, and because, you know what, it made a huge difference for me in watching movies, and I just, like, sat there in awe of it and, you know, remember what that experience is. So I do hope theaters come back. I do think it makes a difference, though, in what we're going to see winning these awards this year, because people are watching them, particularly Oscar voters later on, and, you know, all voters basically are watching them in a different way. And that may, and you're not watching them with a bunch of other people, and you're not out on the party circuit here at screenings and things. It doesn't exist, so people aren't talking to each other as much, and, you know, we may have some surprises. Yeah. Coming out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, you just made a good point, too, because I wouldn't want to see the new James Bond in my living room. I would want to see it in a theater. You're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
Drama, The Father, Mank, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, The Trial of the Chicago 7, which is
good. Well, my sources within the Globes, just whatever I've been able to get, seem to think it's between The Trial of the Chicago 7 and Nomadland.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, even though Mank got the most nominations, I think that, you know, and it could be, you know, look, it's just 90 members and how many of them vote. And, you know, so there can be a split vote and it could bring in a surprise here. My guess is I think it's going to be The Trial of the Chicago 7.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this is going to sound really geeky, but I'm here in Chicago. I get Variety, like the printed Variety, sent to my house.
Yeah.
And I see all the advertisements are in there. How important, and I've seen The Trial of the Chicago 7. There was some big advertisements for that movie. How important is that from a publicist standpoint to really pound it out there to get in people's faces? So that
I think
this
it's very important.
Yeah,
I think it's very important. You know, The Trial of Chicago 7's been, you know, they've been advertising Best Picture of the Year, you know, Deadline. Well, that was from me because I put it number one on the thing. But every single movie, if you turn those pages, a Variety or a Reporter, go on Deadline, every movie has a quote that says the best picture of the year.
From somebody. So, right?
Yeah, from somebody or something. Yeah, so I'm not sure what it's worth, but I do know that you got to be visible because the Academy has a new thing called a screening room, and it's digital. And these 9,000 Academy members need to figure out how to watch these movies and then which movies to watch. And there's 223 listed in their best picture. They charge $12,500 to get on the site, to have your movie run on the site. And you haven't even heard of half of these titles.
Right.
And so it's important to be out there in other ways, advertising, on TV, something to get them to say, oh, yeah, I want to go see that one and make an effort to find that movie because it's just a different world here. You're not in theater lobbies. You're not in movie theaters where you see, you know, all the posters and all the standees and everything.
Right.
So you want those ads out. So I do think it's important.
Yeah, very important. Comedy or musical, I always found in the Globes this category to be kind of weird because, I mean, you're really pitting comedies against musicals. It almost has to be a separate category, but you don't have enough musicals probably to populate it. But you got Borat, of course, the new Borat, Hamilton Music, Palm Springs, and The Prom. Where do you think this is heading?
Well, first of all, music is an embarrassing nomination. That's the Sia movie. I had actually seen it a couple of months before this. And so when I saw that nominated, I go like,
what?
Oh, my God. They called me. They wanted me. They showed me the movie on the QT, and they wanted me to interview Sia if I would say nice things about it. I watched it, and I turned it down. I said, Oh, my God. And then the fact that they nominate that with a title, Best Motion Picture Anything, forget that one. So you have Palm Springs, clever comedy. I don't think it's going to win here. The Prom, which is your big musical here, probably will not win. So I think it's down to Borat, the most likely winner, probably Borat. And if not that, it's going to be Hamilton, which is just a filmed version of the Broadway play.
Yeah. So how do you get that to submit? Is it when it's really just that? And they've, of course, won all those awards. How is that legitimate?
It's kind of crazy. I don't know, because the Golden Globes are the only awards group this year that have put it under movies. Others are putting it, like the group I'm in, Critics' Choice, under television. And the Oscars have ruled it ineligible altogether because they don't allow filmed theater performances. So this is a unique one-off situation there. But you know what? The Globes could go for it. However, I think Borat probably is in the position to win there.
Who is receiving the honorary awards this year? There's a Carol Burnett Award, and of course the classic Cecil B. DeMille Award.
Norman Lear is getting the Carol Burnett Award, which has been given out for 3 years now, once to Carol Burnett and then to Ellen DeGeneres. And then Jane Fonda is getting the Cecil B. DeMille Award, and she's thrilled.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
She said, and they're figuring out how that's going to go. They may shoot her on a soundstage or somewhere. But, Norman Lear will be, you know, watching from home. And last I heard, he was trying to figure out if he was going to do his speech live or on tape.
That's amazing.
He's going to be 99, and the guy's just announced one deal after another. I mean, he gives you a hope. It's amazing. And Jane Fonda, my God, is in her 80s.
Yeah,
so, like, man, you know.
But I will tell you, I talk to Norman every couple of years. I talked to him recently because they put the One Day at a Time on CBS for a short run after it left Pop TV, and he is sharp as a tack. It was just like Carl Reiner, like all these legends, Mel Brooks, that are in their 90s, man. Yeah. I think that's the secret to their success, is they're still working.
They're still going, you know, and it's amazing. And Lear is just remarkable. I've interviewed him several times. I mean, he's busier than anybody right now. And, I do agree. I think it keeps you going.
Pete Hammond, read his great work at Deadline.com, at Deadline Pete on Twitter, and Pete Hammond, of course, on Facebook. The Golden Globes are Sunday at 7 Central, right here on NBC. Pete, a pleasure as always, and I so appreciate your insight.
Oh, absolutely. It's fun.